This Week in History, Radio Moments.
This week in 1967, heads were being scratched over what to call the BBC's realigned radio networks. Radio Elizabeth had been touted as a possible name for the new pop service, but then maybe Radio 247.
247. Here's news. Starting in September, the BBC begins a new service for fans of popular music. There'll be light, and then there's pop.
With Sergeant Pepper's lovely heart's blood band.
And then there's always... excuse me. This is how Radio 247 will work.
But then by March 1967, junior BBC staff, I quote there from the press report, were suggesting the names Radio 1 and Radio 2 would lend more up-to-date appeal, with the light programme becoming Radio 1 and the new pop service Radio 2. And as for the home service becoming Radio 4, many thought that name was the ultimate demotion for the nation's flagship news service. Life could have been so very different had the numbers been another way round.
Music smooth and sweet here on Radio 2.
18 years ago this week, at last, another music station was added to that BBC network portfolio.
Now, there's a new kind of music station.
The first BBC music station in 32 years.
This isn't just music. This is Six Music.
From the BBC.
Good morning, it's Monday, the 11th of March 2002, and you're listening to Six Music from the BBC. My name is Phil Jupitus. I'll be your host for the next year. How are you doing? As you probably know, we've been having something of a vote on the internet for the first record to be played on Six Music, and you're probably wondering, Phil, who's won?
And you can hear more of that launch on the internet. Six Music beginning this week in 2002, drawing, it was said, on the huge BBC archives of concerts and music interviews to explore music from the 70s to the 90s. It was nearly closed in 2010, but then reprieved. Over a quarter of us now listen at least monthly to live radio via a smartphone or tablet. But it was this week, 15 years ago, that it all really began in the UK. The original Virgin Radio became the first station to enable anyone, anywhere to listen, simply with the phone in their pocket. James Cridland remembers.
So the Virgin Radio 3G tuner came about when a company from Singapore contacted me out of the blue and said, hey, we've got this technology and we think you might be interested in it. And we launched this thing, didn't really know what to call it, didn't know whether it should be called a 3G app or a 3G tuner. So we ended up with a 3G tuner. It didn't actually just work with 3G. It worked on old-fashioned GPRS phones as well. The stream that it was connected to was 8K, so you can imagine how great that must have sounded. But it ran on a couple of Nokia phones and a couple of Sony Ericsson phones. And there was a very complicated way that you had to download and install it. But it ended up working fairly well. One of the difficulties with it was that phones didn't have Wi-Fi on them, so you had to use your cellular data. And mobile data at that point was really expensive, like really expensive.
James Cridland, and don't forget to sign up to James's excellent daily Pod News email. Right. It's 1976. We're just about to have a wonderful sunshine summer, and everyone's getting very excited in Reading.
Hello and good morning, Thames Valley. This is Paul Hollingdale saying welcome to Radio 210. And on behalf of all of us here at our studios in Calcot, Reading, it's my pleasure to greet you on this, our first day of transmission, as local independent radio reaches everyone in the Reading and Thames Valley area.
Basically, what we've got to do is provide information, education and entertainment to as many people as possible. We want to appeal to most of the people most of the time. We're not a minority radio station.
Good evening and welcome to 210's arts magazine, Spotlight. Presented this evening by Bob Morrison.
The radio station was housed in what had been the civil defence headquarters for Berkshire, presumably in the event of a nuclear war. This odd building on the very edge of Reading would have been the nerve centre, and built on to the house, which had become the headquarters, were slightly ramshackle studios, though obviously done to a very high technical standard because of the IBA's requirements. I suppose it felt a bit like going into a slightly run-down, out-of-town hotel.
Former MD, later regulator Tony Stoller, reflecting on Radio 210 launching in Reading this week in 76. The station stuck with its AM wavelength as its 210 name for 33 years, even when it was no longer on 210. 210 FM. Round the Horn was a famous BBC radio comedy programme, even voted the BBC's third best radio show of any genre and the best radio comedy series of all time in a Radio Times poll. The show was on Sunday afternoons. It was a saucy blend of innuendo, camp comedy, wordplay. Barry Took and Marty Feldman created it. It starred Kenneth Horne, supported by the likes of Kenneth Williams. It began on the BBC Light programme this week, 55 years ago.
We in the entertainment business have every cause to be grateful to the backroom boys of the BBC, especially those unsung heroes of the wardrobe and makeup department. And recently, I was appearing on BBC television, and before I went on, I popped into the wardrobe department. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sandy. Yes,
look. You see, look, it's crocheted on our smocks. The actual name, you see. Are you one of the Daleks from Doctor Who? Oh, no.
So I popped into a bookshop in the King's Road. It was called Boner Books. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello,
daring content for the time, criticised by some people, but the DGs stood by it. Round the Horn launched its original three-year run this week in 65. It was said to attract audiences of over 15 million, one of the most influential programmes in radio history. So, with the final DLT show on Classic Gold 18 years ago...
This is Classic Gold, the place where we play you the songs that you can sing along to, and indeed you do, because you don't know this, but we have feedback. It's automatic here in the studio.
Les Ross leaving BRMB Breakfast to present over on AM 31 years ago.
And I went to Mike Owen, who was the programme controller then. I think I said, oh, Mike, I'd like to be on Extra AM. What?
The death of Capital LBC and the BBC's Adrian Love 21 years ago.
Nightline. We are going to open the lines because talking to Tom about kids, I suddenly realised that quite a few kids listen.
A new spin-off from Southern Radio on AM 29 years ago.
Light and easy, South Coast Radio.
The BBC making the first broadcast from New Broadcasting House 8 years ago.
The World Services London base may be changing, but the BBC's commitment to serve our audiences around the world remains as strong as it's ever been.
Michael Parkinson hosting his final Desert Island Discs 32 years ago.
Brennan Foster, thank you very much indeed.
The death of the BBC's first chief engineer, Peter Eckersley, 57 years ago.
Hello, CQ, this is 2M Atok calling.
And the first episode of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on Radio 4, 42 years ago.
It has, however, very little to say about the abduction of people by the remote reprogramming of teleportation coordinates to bring them to a cathedral of hate.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.